B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Once again from the Town Fair Tire Studio, Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub, simulcast NBC Sports Boston. And once again, no Felger, no Maz today. For the final time this week, you have Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys. We have Tim McCone once again over in my normal spot. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, it's a very festive Adam Jones.
Hey, happy Husky Day there, yeah. Big Jim. Happy Husky Day.
Ready to root on his Huskies on this, the greatest day in sports. The greatest day in sports, everyone. The first day of the NCAA tournament. The best day in sports. Wrong. It is not the best day in sports. The best day in sports is the first Sunday in the NFL season. You get the full slate of games of the only sport that really matters. You don't have to worry about all the lesser sports anymore. It signifies the start of the best season of all the seasons, fall. That's the best day in sports. You know it. I know it. The world knows it. I had to get that off my chest.
It's a pretty good day, though.
Yeah,
even if
you don't care.
If you're a gambler, it's a good day. If you want to root against that, like, I would encourage people to root against me. That's a good day to root against Northeastern. You know, like, I would encourage that. I mean,
I figured you were just pumped for this. I didn't know the time of the games because I kind of just don't care. Like I said, I really am only into this for the sports shot.
4 o'clock, Jim. Yeah,
we're getting
o'clock.
This today. So this is great. I actually have reason. I have reason to be interested today because I'm going to root against the Huskies.
Oh, that's going to be fun. you're going to root for Kansas. Ooh,
sure am.
Ooh, you're going to root for the 10-point favorite or whatever. That. Ooh, okay. All right. That's fine.
So while we wait for that, let's start with the Boston Celtics. How you guys feel about that loss to Philadelphia last night? Clearly, Kyrie doesn't care because the regular season doesn't matter. But how about you? For the first time this season, and what feels like the first time in forever, the Celtics lose to the 76ers in what was a chippy, I thought, really interesting game. And Kyrie, to his credit, actually showed up and had a monster game for the most part. But to lose the way that they did, and for Marcus Smart to do what he did, there's a lot of meat on that bone.
Oh, it was, it's an end to the Celtics and their domination of Philly, right? Like, I'm not saying they won't beat Philly. I'll probably still pick them to beat Philly in a postseason series. But now, a game like last night where the Sixers, and I know they had advantages, you know, Baines got hurt and Smart got ejected. There's no Gordon Hayward. The game was in Philly, the free throw. I get it. I get all of that. I definitely do. But that's the kind of game that Philly normally lost against the Celtics. Like, anything that was close, anything that was hard fought, anything where you needed to make big shots or get stops, Philly never did that. Embiid specifically never did that. And then Embiid's getting big buckets, Embiid's getting big blocks of Kyrie. I think that's a big win for Philly and, you know, their chances against the Celtics, just because maybe that's a win where they can hang their hat on it and kind of believe a little bit. Instead of Terry Rozier talking smack to Joel Embiid like, you guys haven't beaten us since AI. The ninth guy is talking smack to the best guy on the Sixers. Now maybe Philly has a little confidence. So I'm not saying the Celtics can't beat Philly or anything like that. That'd be stupid. But now maybe we have something. And that's what that game was about to me.
Yeah, you and I have, and you more than anybody else here at the station, have mocked the rivalry and the way that the NBA have sold this thing, and I think rightfully so, because the Celtics, again, have owned them, and the games have largely been non-competitive. That last night, that felt like a rivalry.
It
did. There was some good sports hate that you could feel that's built between these two teams, and you saw it spill out, unfortunately, so because that was really done by Marcus Smart, and that was proven in the fourth quarter that Jimmy Butler ended up having, and we'll get to that. But overall, I agree, and from a psychological standpoint, that's a gigantic win for Philadelphia last night because those are the type of games that they typically lose. But bigger picture, I still don't look at Philadelphia as a problem. I don't. Because they still end up pulling that off, and it's a three-point game, I still have to look at it and say, for Philadelphia to win that game, Aaron Baines had to get hurt.
Yep.
You had to have Marcus Smart get ejected like a complete idiot. No Gordon Hayward, which I still can't believe I'm even saying, but he has been better. And then the ridiculous discrepancy in free throws. I'm typically not like blame the refs guy, but 43 to 16.
It was admittedly a little out of hand, yeah.
Yeah, a little out of here. That
well,
like...
here's a thought, Celtics. Go to the basket instead of settling for jump shots. You know how you get fouls called? When you drive to the basket,
yeah.
Like Philadelphia did. They played more physical than the Celtics last night, and that's why Philadelphia was rewarded with free throws.
So I would agree with that, and I would point out, I would point out that Irving got calls. Irving got some good calls, like some calls that even Scal last night on the broadcast was like, ooh, I didn't think he was going to get that one.
Yeah.
I don't think that was a foul on Embiid. So Irving got calls. Your star player got calls. The Celtics as a team did not. I would agree. I mean, the three-pointers were similar. I think 33 attempts to 32. Philly actually attempted one more three than the Celtics. But Philly did a lot more going to the rim, especially late, and the Celtics do a lot more settling for jump shots. I agree with that.
Yeah, no, they certainly could.
Thank
be
you.
More, they could certainly be more aggressive, but it took all of that for Philadelphia to ultimately get over the hump of the Celtics, and they still only win by three. And there was times, especially late, even when they were going on a run, they're trying to give it away. They horrid shot selection. It's bombs away time and again. They're poorly coached, but then again, you might be able to say the same thing right now about the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. Celtics have had bad shot selection lately.
Yeah.
They have not been well coached this year, so the gap between the two teams is definitely narrowed. And I would say, and I know you agree with this, I don't think Philly cares how they won. You know, like, at the end of the day, I will still be picking the Celtics against Philly unless something crazy happens in these final 10 games, if they play each other. I don't think they're going to, based on that result last night now, unless somehow it's in an Eastern Conference final or something. But psychologically, Philly just needed one. I don't think they care how they got it. You had the ninth guy on the Celtics talking smack to you. And now the Celtics have moved the goalpost, by the way. Rozier with his post-game commentary, Marcus Morris with his post-game commentary. It's like, oh, no, now no longer have we, you guys can't beat us. Now it's, oh, I thought they were going to drop the confetti. Or, oh, we won the season series. I didn't realize that's what we were talking about. I thought we were talking about that game last night, which Philly won, and Philly out-executed you in clutch spots. That's what happened. That was the game last night.
What do you think, McCone? What do you make of your Celtics last night?
Well, look, I've been out on them since that Rockets game a couple weeks ago, and that magical plane ride to the West Coast that I actually sneaky bought into after the win against Golden State, that's proved to be absolutely fake news. So I just, like, I don't know. You look at this team, and it's just a team that, look, this is what they've been all season long. And to your point in terms of moving the goalposts, that's what you get when your leader comes out the day before and talks about how we're good. All we need to do is get in.
Yep.
Like, there were no expectations coming into the season. We just want to get into the playoffs and then we'll turn it on. So it's just continuing to move the goalposts. And this is nothing new for the Celtics.
Yeah. And now you can kiss the three seed away unless there is an epic collapse here by Philadelphia, which I really don't see happening considering their strength of schedule down the stretch here. Yeah. You can forget about that. Now, Kyrie Irving doesn't care about that at all.
No.
And he's now on record, too. And by the way, I have to say that the progression of how I felt about his comments, and we'll replay them in case you haven't heard them yet. The progression of how I felt about it, again, it didn't read good. And then we played it when we got the audio yesterday in the show. It was like, oof. Have you watched the video? Like,
no.
Everything that...
I haven't seen his delivery.
Everything that we speculated in the tone, it's real. Because you see his face and it's just, it's that whole nonchalant, like, nah, man, like, no, of course I'm going to take games off. Yeah. Like,
I'm definitely taking some games off for the playoffs.
It's exactly what you think it is if you haven't seen the video yet. When I first saw it again last night, I got to do a spot on Boston Sports Tonight on NBC Sports Boston. I was like, oh, it's even worse. Like, it's even worse than I thought it was. So he doesn't care.
No.
But I do still think it matters. Like, you want home court. It's just as important as home field advantages in the NFL playoffs. And he doesn't give a rat's ass. So kiss away the three seed last night. And do we even really know? Do we feel that confident whether they have home court or not against Indiana that they'll beat that team in the first round?
No. I do.
They won't.
I feel pretty confident. You guys are both shaking your heads back there against Indiana?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Home court?
They didn't go away after Victor went down.
It's true. Dude,
so what? These are regular season games. Like, I don't want to sound
Kyrie.
I don't want to sound like Kyrie, but I'm a media. I feel like media people are allowed to talk that way. When the leader of the team is talking that way, it's a little different. I mean, Indiana is a lot like the Celtics with Isaiah. They're a lot like those teams where they're playing hard and they're all together, but the talent is not.
Jones, they play defense better than you do.
Okay.
Look, they really haven't beat, if you go and look through like the schedule, they haven't exactly beaten elite teams, but I'll take a team that plays hard night in and night out and has home court advantage over this team that I think, honestly, at the first sign of like distress, I think they're just going to pack it in.
So I
would not be
especially
floored if
Kyrie,
they lost to
Indiana. Especially Kyrie, who's got his condo in New York.
Well, hang on, exactly. What did you say? You wouldn't be surprised?
No, they will pack it in. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So I would I would pick the Celtics against Indiana home or away, but obviously I feel better with them having home court advantage, so they should be trying to get the four seed. They're idiots not caring about these games. I, again, on the outside looking in, cannot care about regular season basketball. It's their job to care. Kyrie should be leading them and you know, going out there leading by example in some of these games, but yeah, I'll take them against the Pacers either way. Philly, I'm a little more wishy-washy about after last
night. If the Celtics are down 0-2 to the Pacers, having lost two games at Indiana, they're packing it in. They're done.
I would agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they're down 0-2, I may meet you there. I don't see how they're getting down 0-2 against that team.
Right. Oh, I do.
We're off and running. We're talking Celtics here in the first hour because there's a lot to talk about.
And we already have them losing in the first round, Murray.
With last night's loss.
Oh, we have them down 0-2 already to Indiana.
With last night's loss to Philadelphia and the 76ers. We're going to get to Marcus Smart next, too, because there's no excuses for what he did last night. If you liked it in the moment, and I admit I did too. I was like, yeah. And then I realized, I was like, oh, well, this is going to definitely come back to haunt them. And it did. So we'll get on to Marcus Smart coming up next here along with your phone calls at 617-779-0985. It's Murray and Jones in for Felger and Mass.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Ben Simmons, near midcourt, and Embiid got knocked down by Smart, and Embiid wants a piece of him. The two of them are nose-to-nose in the middle of the lane. Embiid took a tough spill near the baseline, and Smart just kind of stood there and watched them fall.
Wow.
I didn't see what precipitated that.
Oh, well, that's on.
I mean, all it was just a steal at the other end, and now Marcus Smart's going to have to be led off the floor. Well, and Bede's going to be led in the other direction.
I'm not sure what happened there.
And now Smart taunting the crowd as he walks back to the bench.
We might be able to get a replay. Where was it? And B came and pushed Marcus down first.
Okay.
And then Marcus retaliated.
And knocked Embiid down from behind. So Embiid knocked Marcus down first.
Hostile act.
Oh my God. Just ejected Marcus Smart.
So that was John Wallach and Cedric Maxwell on the call last night's 118-115 76ers win over the Boston Celtics here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. And that was ultimately the play that changed everything. It's Felger and Maz here on 98.5 of Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys once again. And I have to admit, Jones, I loved that in the moment because at my core, I'm a big dumb gorilla. It's like, yeah, violence, get him, kill. But the more rational adult me realized just 30 seconds later, oh, that's going to cost him. Like when the ejection happened, it's like, that's going to come back and bite him in the ass. And wouldn't you know it did. And really, I don't know how anyone, I guess if you're just like, if you're like most hardcore fans, like, they're the wrong. That shouldn't have been a flagrant two. He should have been ejected. Like, you're just not going to be rational about it. But if you're trying to defend Marcus Smart, you're just wrong. He should have been ejected. And there's no defending it. And you want the proof that you know that he's in the wrong? Well, you have Brad Stevens, the head coach, after the game saying, you know, we needed him. That wasn't the right thing to do. You had Danny Ainge this morning on Tucker and Rich say the very same thing. And never mind, you know, let's just go to the stats. How about this? Jimmy Butler was kept in check while Marcus Smart was still in that game. He was on him like a glove. They're up 11 at that point in the game when he gets ejected. But more importantly, the defense he was playing on Jimmy Butler was phenomenal, and Butler was doing nothing. Then Marcus Smart gets ejected, and look at that fourth quarter. And look at how much Jimmy Butler factored in that fourth quarter to the tune of 15 points. That's why they lost that game. That stupid ejection.
Yeah, so you think it's they missed Smart. You think that's what the issue with the game was. They missed Smart?
Yeah, I do.
See, I think it's more
Butler
about...
Butler doesn't get 15 points in the fourth quarter. There's no way.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not. They had already tied the game and they had already taken the lead. Like prior to that, they had already at least made up the difference in the third quarter. I forget if they tied it or not, really without much contribution from Butler. I think the problem with Smart getting ejected there is that he ignited the crowd. Like he let those trash people in Philadelphia like wake up and start like getting into it. The Cretans of Philadelphia were like, yeah, like
let me put down my water ice and start booing.
Yeah, exactly. I came all the way here from the Poconos. I stopped at the Wawa on the way in with my water ice and my hoagie, and now I'm going to start throwing trash on the court. Like you let those people start breathing and start feeling it and start getting into it. And then Philly started feeling it. That reinvigorated Embiid. Like that got the whole team into it. So I think what he did to set off that powder keg there last night was more significant than his actual absence. Like I'm not, if he gets suspended, people are like, oh, what if Marcus Smart gets suspended? Oh, well, I think they'll be just fine. I don't think they're going to miss Marcus Smart for a game or two games or whatever he would get for a suspension. I think last night it was about the environment in Philadelphia. And I'll give Marcus Smart one thing. You know, you always hear, oh, good thing Embiid was held back by his teammates because Smart would have put him in a body bag. Oh. I've seen a lot of Smart shoving guys in the back. He shoved J.R. Smith in the back. He shoved Joel Embiid in the back. And maybe I overreacted a little bit on Twitter last night. I've taken a lot of flack for this. I said he ran from Embiid. It's an exaggeration. But he certainly hid behind 20-year-old Jason Tatum. So this idea that Marcus Smart's like this big, tough guy will put you in a body bag, that narrative goes out the window again last night. You know, heroically shoving another player in the back, Joel Embiid. I will give Smart this, though. If you're going to go off the court in Philly, in that city, with those trash people, and you're going to do one of these, like, yeah. He's lucky he didn't get pelted with batteries or something else in that place. So I'll give Marcus Smart that. I don't know if it was the smartest thing in the world, but I'll give him some credit for at least standing up to the Philly fans. The idea that he stands up and he's some tough guy with Embiid or J.R. Smith or whomever, DeAndre Bembry earlier this year, please. Like, I feel like that narrative's been blown to smithereens after shoving Embiid in the back when he wasn't looking last night and then hiding behind 20-year-old string bean Jason Tatum.
Well, whether it's igniting the crowd or missing his hashtag winning plays in the fourth quarter and allowing Butler to go off 15 points, either way, I think it's stupid. But, McCone, you loved it.
Yeah, I do. I think it should have worked the other way. Like, if you're the Celtics, you're talking about it and firing up the Celtics, the 76ers. If you're the Celtics, shouldn't you rally around your guy after that point and play, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes of inspired basketball? I mean, they were up 11 at the time of it.
A good team would.
Yeah, well, a team with two max guys and two top three picks, I would think might have enough, the little engine that could, to pull off a win against the team that you've owned for the last 2 years. So, look, I would rather see a guy that crosses the line, and look, does he deserve to be ejected? Absolutely. Is he a fake tough guy? Yes, but that's the definition of a tough guy in the NBA. Marcus Smart's an NBA tough guy. So, to me, like, I would rather have a guy like that shows at least that he cares and is somewhat invested, rather than the guy that's saying, you know what, yeah, I'm definitely going to take games off here down the stretch. Give me Marcus Smart 10 times out of 10 over someone like Kyrie Irving.
And this is very interesting to hear this from you, McCone. You're usually mild-mannered McCone, and it turns out you have bloodlust.
No, I would rather have a team that plays with an edge and has kind of that chip on its shoulder rather than someone that's just kind of like, meh, we'll turn it on once the playoffs come.
What if their edge breaks the backboard every time they take a three?
Well, right, so shouldn't that be a positive if he's not on the court in those last 20 minutes, offensively at least? To me, I don't think it should have been that big a deal that you were missing Marcus Smart where you fall apart down the stretch.
I don't think it's that they missed him. I think it's that you breathe life into that building and breathe life into
the other
team.
Right, but a championship team, it goes the other way.
Clearly not a championship team.
Well, obviously, that's what I'm saying. I think that this just points to the fact that this team, because it's led by Kyrie Irving, is not going to win the championship, and this is an example of that, because I would think a team that was built like that would rally around this rather than fall apart.
Okay? That's a good point.
I mean, that's fair. I would just point out that, this has not been that level of team, but maybe a championship-level team would rally around that. Maybe. A championship-level team probably wouldn't have to stoop to starting a bricklayer like Marcus Smart. They'd probably play, he'd be the seventh or eighth guy off the bench. That's probably what a championship-level team would have him do.
Frankly, I'd like to explore whether or not we have our own little Patrick Bateman here in our midst, our own American cycle.
Well, I like that Danny Ainge, by the way, is the one that's saying we need to pump the brakes here. He starts brawls in like the 83 playoffs, and he's like, hey, you got to learn some self-control there, Marcus. Come on.
Rein it in, would you, Marcus?
Bloodlust McCone. Do you agree with him? 617-779-0985. Because really, I think overall, whether it's igniting the crowd or you miss his plays and his defense on Butler late, I just think you can't defend it. And that plays into what's ultimately an ugly loss for the Celtics last night in Philadelphia. First loss of the year to the 76ers. 617-779-0985. John in Boston, you're first up here on Felger and Mass today. Hey, John.
Hey, guys. Looking at the glass half full, I know you're calling it an ugly loss yesterday. My question is this. Is it not better for the Celtics to have the Indiana Pacers without Oladipo in the first round? Is it not better to play the Milwaukee Bucks instead of playing the Toronto Raptors? And hopefully Philly could beat the Raptors and you'd get Philly in the third round. Isn't that really the best scenario right now for the Celtics? Just want your take on that.
Well, Jones, you feel this way, right?
Yeah, so they don't deserve it, but they're, and it's not like they're, don't give me that they're just playing the angles here and this is what they want, and now it's like Bill Belichick anytime
trying
you
to lose
a game.
Against the Bills.
Yeah. It's oh, Bill Belichick, see, actually he knew if he lost this game it would be an easier road. So don't give the Celtics credit for masterminding it, and they certainly don't deserve it, but I think they're going to luck into a really easy path. Which is, you know, unfortunate if you're a fan of karma and things like that, because the Celtics don't deserve it. Meanwhile, the Bruins, in fairness to them, despite their little fake shutout the other night and blowing up a bad Islanders team, despite all that, they're getting screwed by their path through the playoffs, and they're a team that is playing well. So the Celtics don't deserve this path, but I agree with that caller. This, if they're the four seed at home against Indiana and then Milwaukee in round two, I think that's the best possible road to the Eastern Conference Finals. Yeah.
No, I agree. I mean, I think that it really is setting up nicely for the Celtics. But again, it's not like they're going out of their way to strategically lose these games. These are games that they're trying to win. And ultimately, you'd like to see something from the Celtics here before the postseason.
Cam and Taunton with the thought of the day. Hey, Cam.
How's it going, guys? The loss in and of itself, I'm not going to freak out about. You didn't have Hayward. You lost your two best defensive players in the middle of the game, and it took them getting 27 more free throws for them to beat you by three at home. But smart. This guy's got to learn to control himself. I mean, I've gone back and forth with Jones in interviews. I love Smart. I love his energy. But, I mean, he goes to – this is the third time this year, if you include the J.R. Smith incident in the preseason, he's gotten himself ejected over something stupid. And the next two – if he gets himself suspended, the next two games you're facing Kemba Walker and DeMar DeRozan. You need him to defend those two. And it just like – and he – you think you're both right.
He didn't do so good on Kemba earlier this year. Butler.
You missed his defense on Butler. And – he breathed life into the Sixers and the Philly crowd. He's got to learn to control himself.
Thanks for the call, Cam. Yeah, he does run hot. I mean, last year it was the Instagram thought there that he ended up smashing his hand over in a hotel, allegedly. You have this thing last. I mean, that's all. It's the good and the bad of Marcus Smart. You can be, you know, it's that kind of attitude that plays into the hashtag winning plays that I like that you mock, Jones. But you can't go over the line like you did last night and cost your team a game.
Not to compare this to the Bruins again, but like with Brad Marchand, I'm okay when Marchand crosses the line. And what Marchand
including
does is
the face licking?
Yeah, well, so that, I mean, it's ridiculous. When I say I'm okay with him crossing the line, what I mean is I don't want to rewire the player, right? And I feel like if you tell Brad Marchand to tone that crap down, I feel like you don't get the same results. I feel like he turns into a different, more passive player, and then you don't get the offense, you don't get the upside. And I know he's been more dialed in this year, but people were giving him credit last year too. And then we saw what he pulled in the playoffs. So let's see if Marchand actually tones it down. At least there's a lot of upside with Marchand. You know, he's been a point-per-game guy. This was third year in a row. I think he has at least 85 points. So, I mean, he is a high-end, world-class offensive player. If he crosses the line, and some of the stuff he pulls is embarrassing, some of the stuff he pulls is dangerous, I'm at least willing to put up with it because he is a world-class player. Smart is not. So that's the kind of player that absolutely needs to reel it in, because when a role player on your team is killing you like he did last night, that's the kind of loss you can't tolerate.
You want to try to defend Marcus Smart? Let's hear from you at 617-779-0985 after he gets ejected in last night's Celtics loss to the Philadelphia 76ers in Philadelphia again. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls. And also, how dare we once again doubt the leadership qualities of Kyrie Irving? Weren't they all on display last night on the floor? We'll get to that coming up after the Sports Hub headlines with Tim McCone, Phil Grinmaz, 98.5 The Sports.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening to Felger and Bass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha hee hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics up 69-58, Tommy, off a 39-point first quarter from the Celtics, and Kyrie Irving was getting it done, wasn't he?
You know, when we talk about leadership and everybody questioning his leadership, you just saw leadership in that first quarter. I mean, he was not going to let the Celtics wander around. He got them immediately into the ball game, and they were playing very aggressively and very smart.
I'm definitely taking some games off for the playoffs. Just makes no sense to put emphasis on these regular season games when you know you're gearing up for some battles coming in the playoffs.
It's Tommy Heinsohn with Michael Hawley last night. Halftime, the Celtics eventual loss to the 76ers. Felger and Maz, 98.5 of Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys once again today. Tim McCone over over in my normal spot as well. The leadership qualities. Oh, well, boy, they were just emanating from Kyrie Irving on the floor last night, weren't they? And then, of course, you get the juxtaposition of Kyrie Irving before last night's game. I'm sorry, I just still don't think.
I'm definitely taking some games up for the playoffs.
He's any kind of a leader after he says something like that.
Shame on you, Jim. You don't know basketball if you think that's not a leader. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, how about this, Jones? How about in terms of the night on the floor? Shame on me for thinking that maybe, I don't know, it's a little overrated in the night that Kyrie Irving had, because if you just look at the stat line, he finishes with 36 points. Like, whoa, you can't doubt that,
no.
Right? That's a leader type of a game right there. He proved it on the floor. It doesn't matter if he's, comes off as an ignoramus or like he's out of touch or just doesn't get it. Like, as insufferable as he can be, maybe he just showed the leadership on the floor last night. What was, unfortunately a loss, but a close loss. I don't know. If you take a deeper dive, if you really paid attention to that game, 3 for 13 from 3, 12 for 29 from the floor. Okay, he was good at the free throw line and actually, got some contact and got to the line, 9 of 11. But I don't know. Did that feel like an extremely impressive game by Kyrie Irving last night? And shame on me for thinking this. If we have bright lights, primetime Rajon Rondo, I kind of believe that there's a bright lights, primetime Kyrie Irving. And that's what that game was last night. Little bit hollow, little too flashy. The defense was lapsed. There were a lot of defensive lapses at times. Like, I don't know. It just didn't feel like that great of a game despite the numbers that he ended up with.
No, so I actually agree with it during this whole four-game 30-plus point streak. And I don't want to be accused of a straw man here, but people are starting to make a big deal of, oh, Kyrie scored 30-plus four games in a row. I don't really think any of these games have been all that impressive out of Kyrie, quite frankly. And that includes the triple-double against Sacramento, and I said that night. I didn't think he was that impressive in that game.
I thought he was good in the fourth quarter.
I was just going to say, he finished great. The way he finished that game was great, but Jaylen Brown was bigger in that game. I thought Hayward at the beginning of the fourth quarter was bigger in that game.
Agreed.
In terms of maintaining the lead. 31 points on 28 shots against Sacramento. 30 points on 24 shots, and he was 12 of 24. That's better against Atlanta. 30 points on 23 shots, 10 of 23. And then 36 on 29 shots, 3 of 13 from 3, 12 of 29 from the floor, as you said. And on top of that, getting swatted by Joel Embiid. I think he was 1 of 6 in the final 4 minutes. Greeny wrote about this today. I was just trying to double check my math, or his math. I think he was 1 of 6 in the final 4 minutes. He got swatted by Embiid on a massive bucket, and he broke down defensively multiple times, including, and Scal did a good job breaking this down on the broadcast last night, including on that Ben Simmons 3-point play. Marcus Morris was expecting a switch. Kyrie instead was like, oh, you got it. You got that. Don't worry about it. Morris is a step behind. So not only does he give up the layup or the runner or whatever it was to Simmons, he also fouls him because he's trailing the play. Kyrie didn't help him out. And now you got a 3-point play. And then Butler hits his shot in the corner, that lucky shot. And now it's a 2-possession game and the game's over. So, yeah, Kyrie was bad down the stretch at the end of the game. And I heard Tommy at halftime go on and get double down on the leadership at halftime because he had 16 points in the first quarter. And I'm like, I'm filing this away in case they lose. And they did. So, no, the leadership again was bad last night.
It just felt like flash over substance. He didn't finish on some easy layups. And just lately, I'm glad I'm not alone in thinking this way. And, of course, I am with the sports vulture, so it's easy for you to get sucked in anything that's dark and negative. But I've just felt like it's felt like Rajon Rondo-y, especially in a game like last night. It was like, okay, enough. Like, the handles I love, but at times it's like, enough. Like, we get what you're trying to do here. Like, neat. And it's more about him than team basketball. And I think we've seen a little bit too much of that as of late, and it's been overrated.
Yeah, well, especially if people, like, wasn't it a month ago that people were giving him credit for deferring to his teammates?
Yeah.
Like, oh,
yeah.
Look, this is the Kyrie that defers to his teammates. Well, then, if you're going to give him credit for that, you should get on him for being selfish and, doing what he did last night in the fourth quarter down the stretch, taking 29 shots when you don't have it. If Kyrie has it, I'm all for 29 sure. shots. If you're off, it wouldn't be so bad to defer to your teammates every once in a while. That's all.
617-779-0985. Your thoughts on last night's Celtics loss to the 76ers. And if you want to try to defend Marcus Smart, by all means, have at it. We'd love to hear from you. Richard in the car, though, on Kyrie Irving. Hello, Richard.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
You just touched exactly what I wanted to cover. I'm surprised that the narrative hasn't been, he's putting up 30 points, but in today's NBA, if you're shooting 30 shots in a night, you better score 30 points. And that's exactly what's wrong with this team all year, is that Brad Stevens' system is about moving the ball and getting it to the guy with a wide-open shot. And Kyrie Irving doesn't play within that. He gets over the half court, he starts hucking shots up, or he's dribbling the ball until the end of the shot clock, and he's putting up bad shots. And that's not what Stevens' system is predicated on. So I don't know how you can give this guy an extension for $40 million. It's like giving Carmelo Anthony or John Wall $40 million. Your team is going to be tight against the cap, and you're not going to go anywhere. So I just think that, going into the playoffs, we hope that they don't do as well, just because I think you guys are going to be trapped with having this guy sign long term. So I think yesterday was just another instance of how he is supposed to be this guy who takes over games late, and he just doesn't do it. So that's all I wanted to cover.
Thanks for the call, Richard. Do you think that finisher label that we have put on Kyrie Irving collectively is unwarranted?
No. I mean, I think he is a good closer. I just think that he hasn't been doing it. So when you've hit one of the biggest shots in the history of the NBA Finals, I think you deserve that label. But I would just say that, there are a lot of great closers in the history of the NBA. When they have some off games or off stretches, and I think Kyrie has been off in that regard, finishing off some of these games, the Sacramento game notwithstanding, we just gave him credit for how he played against the Kings. But yeah, I think he's had trouble doing it lately. So I don't think that applies. You can say he's a great closer, but he's just not doing it right now. Tom Brady, great in fourth quarter comebacks and great in the clutch, and not to compare Kyrie to Brady, but just, when he craps the bed against Pittsburgh or something like that, you call him on it. That's how I would treat it with Kyrie.
I think you can be a great closer, and I think Kyrie Irving is, and you can still be a horrific leader. And as the face of your franchise, like Kyrie Irving, I don't think if he's your guy, if he's your number one option, you can win a championship with Kyrie Irving. Because if he's the leader on your team, I don't think it's going to happen.
617-779-0985. Again, want to hear from you on last night's Celtics loss, on Kyrie Irving, Marcus Smart getting ejected for his push in the back of Joel Embiid, and how much are the Celtics going to miss Aaron Baines? We'll talk about this in our long commercial-free segment coming up. And is Baines maybe not going to be out as long as initially reported? We had an update courtesy of Danny Ainge, who joined Toucher and Rich this morning here on the Sports Hub. We'll get to that. And also another pair of tickets for you to go to WWE Monday Night Raw coming up at TD Garden this Monday. That's all next here on Felger and Mazz with Jim Murray and Adam Jones. It's 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mazz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mavs.
I love it.
You were right, Mavs.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bore my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
McConnell to the right. McConnell hard to the basket. No. Rebound Marjanovic underneath. Lost the basketball. Out of bounds off his knee. Celtics ball.
Baines
Marjanovic had a dunk.
Baines is down.
And Aaron Baines is down underneath the Celtics basket.
And Marcus is down.
Smart is okay. I mean, just grabbing a hold of Boban was difficult. And now they've reversed the call. I believe they've given the ball back to Philadelphia after a conversation.
Baines is still down. He got hit.
Baines has not gotten up yet.
I think he got hit in the lower man area, and that was hopefully did that instead of twisting. Oh man, he might have twisted his knee again.
Yep, he's hobbling off.
It's our long commercial-free segment. Felger and Mads, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Jim Murray and Adam Jones in for the guys once again today. And of course, with John Wall and Cedric Maxwell, the call of last night, Celtics lost the 76ers, 118-115 was the final. But that was another big thing that ultimately factored in the Celtics' loss, is losing Aaron Baines. I think we all would have rather see Baines just get hit in the jimmy. You can come back from that. But the initial reports last night, not good. He's missed a ton of time already so far this season, but it was a left ankle injury. He was evaluated. Now you hear after the game he could be out for weeks. This along with a finger fracture, the foot bruise, the hamstring strain. Baines has been a factor here. And I can hear Felger right now on his fancy island, like, do Baines on your own time. It is my own time. Again, you're on vacation. That's why we're doing Aaron Baines right now, because it did factor.
Big Jim's time right now.
Yeah, him, getting out of that game due to injury, that factored into the Celtics' loss. So, doesn't feel good. They obviously were undersized at times last night. Hell, I was even yelling for Robert Williams to come into that game. I think it was a clip after the game. Brad Stevens said he wished he had used Semi Ojeleye late. Like, figures. Now you realize your coaching mistake. But yeah, they're going to miss this guy, it feels like. And we had an update today. Danny Ainge joined Touch and Rich for his normal spot. Maybe he's not going to be out for as long as a couple of weeks. Here's the update.
I don't know. It's day-to-day. I don't think it was a terribly bad ankle sprain. I don't think it's going to be 3 weeks. But I think that it's just a day-to-day injury. And, we'll obviously be careful. And we need everybody healthy by playoffs.
Well, that's what you hope, that it ends up being day-to-day. But if he's out a couple of weeks or at least goes into the playoffs, that's going to be a problem for them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to get Philly, but specifically for that matchup last night, that's a problem. I know Jimmy loves Horford. I get amused at the commentary around Al Horford and how he shuts down Joel Embiid, because he's always needed the help of Baines to do it. So, like, I read all these stories going into it yesterday, like, oh, wow, look at the possessions where it's Horford on Embiid, and I get that. But a lot of that is with Baines on the court as an extra body to help, and Baines does a lot of the work on his own anyway. I think Baines is, I don't want to say a kryptonite for Embiid, but I think that's big for that specific matchup. So, against some of these other big guys, I think you'd miss Baines against Toronto. If you're getting Toronto in the second round, I think you'd miss him there. Am I missing anyone on Indiana? Like a low post presence, like Sabonis isn't that, Turner's not that. So I think Toronto and Philly are kind of the matchups where you'd miss him. And I said earlier in the week, I would consider going back to the starting lineup effectively from a year ago, where it's Kyrie and Brown and Tatum and Horford and Baines. Because I think Brown should be back in there, and I'm okay with getting Smart out of there too. And if that means Baines, I know that changes the makeup quite a bit. Maybe you go back to Hayward if and when he's healthy. I think Baines, in limited minutes against, other bigs like Embiid or like the Gasol and what they have up in Toronto, I think that could be useful, yeah.
Yeah, and when you see their interior defense, suck at times, same when they're getting out-rebounded. In a game like that last night, once he goes out, are you like me and you say, like, well, can you give a few minutes, just some token minutes to Robert Williams? Do you question any of the coaching decisions from Stevens last night?
I honestly didn't really hate rotations last night. I got on him a little bit more for their last loss. Why am I blanking?
Denver.
Yeah, Denver. Sorry. I got on him a little bit with that because, it seems like he kind of screwed up the Jaylen and Tatum thing. He couldn't get Kyrie into the game. Smart lasted in that game too long in the fourth quarter. I had bigger criticism of that rotation. Like, it's always tough with Robert Williams because while he is just athletically on another level and he can certainly protect the rim, you just know, and maybe against a dumb team like Philly it would work, you just know he's going to have a lapse here or there that's going to cost him. So I think that's part of the reason Brad doesn't want to go with him. Again, I think he would be useful in some of these matchups, just like Baines is useful in those matchups, but I understand wanting to stay away from him in a tight game.
Monday Night Raw tickets coming your way in just a couple of minutes, but in the meantime, let's hear from you on last night's Celtics loss, and specifically Marcus Smart and him getting ejected out of that game at 617-779-0985. Vito and Methuen, you're next here on Felger and Mass. Hey, Vito.
Hi. I have no problem with what Smart did last night. His leadership is, I don't know, I think they should put the C's on his jersey.
All right. Vito is,
I don't know
if that was a joke call or Vito's just, doing a bone cruise, smoking up the car. And just put the C on him.
Put the C on him, man.
All right. Josh in the car on Marcus Smart. Hello, Josh.
Hey, guys. How you doing? So I got two quick points. First one about Marcus Smart. I absolutely love what he did last night, and here's the reason why. When Embiid was setting that screen, he clearly flared his elbow out. Maybe not necessarily to hurt Smart, but to catch him. And I like the fact that Smart, defended himself. He's a no-nonsense guy, and obviously it was a game-changing point. But I love what he did. That's the kind of mental and physical toughness, the only mental and physical toughness that the Celtics have. My second point, real quick, is Brad Stevens is completely clueless. Jason Tatum, a minus 19 going into the fourth quarter. Ojale comes in, was playing great defense, was kind of shifting momentum defensively a little bit. And what does he do? He goes right back to Tatum, lets Tatum just crap his pants at the end of the game, blows defensive assignments. This guy Stevens is completely over his head. I say we blow it up, get Anthony Davis here with Kyrie, and get a coach in here that's got experience, like maybe Doc Rivers back again. Thanks, okay. Guys.
Thanks, Josh. Those takes so hot that they had to call right. The fire department on them.
Say
mid-take. That's a bit harsh on Stevens. While it has been a down year for him, I certainly don't think it should be blown up to the extent where he loses his job.
And I'm not going to crush Stevens for playing Tatum over Ojale.
Right.
Like, I'm not doing that. Tatum had a massive layup, aggressive take, just over a minute left to even the game at 113-113, which he left out. So was Tatum good last night? No. Is Tatum good with all of his defensive rotations and whatnot? No. But you're going to play Ojale down the stretch over Jason Tatum? Maybe it would have worked out, but I will not criticize Brad Stevens for that. I have a line. That's where I draw it.
Wanamaker?
No
one. No?
Yeah. Right. No Wanamaker.
And while it was stupid, I guess the thought behind what Marcus Smart did, or at least where he was coming, like I kind of see where you're coming from, McCone, and that like at least he cares,
right? You know? Like show a little something here that you give a crap about some of these games.
Yeah, but hang on. So he cares, but obviously not about his teammates. Like if you care about your teammates, you don't get yourself thrown out and maybe suspended.
No, stand up for yourself. I want a team that has a bit of a chip on its shoulder.
Stand up for what? Embiid like elbowed him. It's not like Embiid took a swing.
Look, did Marcus Smart borderline flop on that play? Yeah, absolutely. But it's the NBA. Like I'm all for it.
But what's he standing up for?
He's just not going to take any crap, and he's invested in the game. I'll take it.
What crap? Like again, like what was the big offense that Embiid did last night that had Smart snap? And again, if you care. You don't hang all your teammates out to dry like he did last night. Getting ejected from that game and igniting the crowd, that hung his teammates out to dry. That's not caring.
Well, look, Marcus Smart plays with an edge, and sometimes you're going to go over that line if you play with that edge. And I'm much more into someone like that than a Kyrie Irving at this point. So, yeah, maybe he overreacted to that play, but I'd rather have a player like that and a team that kind of stands up for itself when they think that they got slighted and kind of galvanizes around a moment like that rather than, now we lost Marcus Smart, we're going to pack it in, even though we're up 11 in the second half.
See, I think
there's plenty of talent there to continue to do it. So if you had some leadership on the team afterwards, you should be able to overcome that. And that's a moment, like you said, that the crowd got into it and now all of a sudden, this is too much for the Celtics. It should go the other way. Like the Celtics should be like, all right, now let's come together and play for our guy.
So all of that's fair. And again, this is Bloodlust McCone.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, he's hot. You guys should get in a squared circle at WWE Monday Night Raw this Monday. This would be the undercard. It's McCone and his Bloodlust.
I don't want to be losing games because my role player, again, this is not Marchand we're talking about to cross sports where it's one of the best players on the planet. This is your role player, seventh, eighth guy. and he's tanking a game for you, a pretty important game for you, that's where I draw the line. Like, do I like a little more edge? Would I like more leadership out of Kyrie? Of course, but I'm not letting the guy who bricks threes and, you know, dives after loose balls and gets rug burn or floor burn and everybody celebrates it tank a game for them, a huge game in the standings.
How did that one play tank the game?
Because because it ignited the crowd. Because the whole crowd started going nuts and Philly got life breathed into them. It was an 11-point game at that point. It was 14 before, and we haven't talked about this. Marcus Smart had his idiotic foul right before halftime to give Redick 3 free throws, which might as well be 3 points, going into halftime. That's why they lost the game, because the trash people, the mole people in Philadelphia popped their heads above ground and said, oh, we got a game here. And that place turned into a cauldron. That's why.
I'll tell you what, if you have two max guys and two top three picks on your roster and people are clapping loudly and now you're folding it in, packing it in, then you're in a lot of trouble.
They should be able to overcome it. The Celtics have no leadership. I'm granting you that. Of course not. But that's the situation they're in. And Smart should have been aware of it. He wasn't.
I'm very much looking to this undercard at WWE Monday Night Raw this Monday. It's Bloodlust McCone against the Sports Vulture. Yes, WWE Monday Night Raw. You want to go call number 10 right now? Pride Motor Group contest line 617-931-0985. You're going to score a pair of tickets to WWE Monday Night Raw. Coming to the Garden this Monday, March 25th, less than 2 weeks before WrestleMania. Don't miss the Shield back together for one final time. Tickets are available if you don't happen to win them through all Ticketmaster outlets. Again, caller 10, Pride Motor Group contest line at 617-931-0985. You get a pair of tickets to Monday Night Raw. Good luck there, and I promise we'll come right back after the headlines from Bloodlust McCone and get right to you and your Celtics calls here on Felger and Maz, 98.5 Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.